Right, good evening everyone to Cabinet this evening. So if I can say that this meeting will be recorded and the sound recording subsequently made available via the Council's website. In addition, under the Local Authorities Executive Arrangements Meetings and Access to Information England Regulations 2012, other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any such images or sound recordings is not under the Council's control. So welcome to everyone. I don't believe we have any apologies, so we are apology free. Item two, disclosures of pecuniary and personal interests. I believe there might be a couple of items. Item 14.
As a member of Syston Town Council on the Capital Plan Amendment Report, the two items, one relating to Syston Town Council, the Section 106 contribution towards the cemetery, and also the Syston Community Garden Project.
Yes, Leader, yes, I. The same as Councillor Barclay.
Thank you very much, Councillor.
Thank you, Leader. Yeah, I've got the interest to declare as a County Councillor for number 16 and possibly number 10. Do we need? I'm not sure about number 10, but certainly number 16 as a County Councillor.
Yeah, I think I agree, item 16. I will also declare an interest as County Councillor for item 16. Item 10, I understand, is actually a county-wide, not necessarily county council. Therefore, it's not an item, I think, that would probably be necessarily a disclosable interest in that sense. I believe also our chair of OSG, Councillor Taylor, is also a county councillor, and if she had a microphone in front of her, would probably be declaring an interest as well as a county councillor in relation to item 16. But when she introduces the item, I suspect she'll probably do so at that time. So no other interest to disclose, so in which case we'll go on to the leader's announcement. So the Council has recently welcomed both the Centre for Public Scrutiny to undertake a review of the Council scrutiny function and the Local Government Association Peer Challenge Team to look at what the Council does well and what it could improve. The Council welcomed both reviews and we look forward to making improvements based on the recommendations which are made to build on our successes. Thank you. So, item four, minutes of the previous meeting. So the meeting of the 15th of February, 2018. First off, for accuracy, everyone's happy with the accuracy of those minutes. And in that case, can we approve those minutes? So all those in favour? Everyone's hands are up. So in which case, we approve those minutes. Thank you very much. So we're now on to item five, which is questions under Cabinet Procedure 10.7. There have been no questions submitted. So item six, we're now on to the John Wood crowdfunding scheme, which has an OSG report. Can I invite Councillor Taylor to the table and also then ask Councillor Page to introduce the item and then invite Councillor Taylor to present the OSG report? Thank you.
Sorry, I was too busy doing something else. This is a report that we're putting forward, a crowdfunding scheme to try and increase the amount of money that we get into the council and helping out with charities in the community. And we've had a very good report come in from the OSG, which I will now pass it on to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. I have got quite a bit to say on this, so I do apologise if I waffle a bit, but I will try and just bullet point it as much as I can. I think the first thing to note is that it was unanimous that no one on the OSG committee supported this application as it was, this report as it was. In this current form, there were many unanswered questions and many concerns brought forward from the group. To start with, there's £40,000 that's going to be used to fund the platform from the reinvestment reserves for 2 years. And after that 2 years, it was hoped that Charnwood and the community groups together would be able to run the scheme. But because of the complex of the platform that we would be using, the group felt it was highly unlikely that there would be no further costs after year two. So we did ask the officers and they confirmed that if we were to continue to run this after the 2 years initially, there would be additional costs, but they didn't know what those costs would be. So that was a bit of concern for the group that we have no idea what those costs would be. It could be the £20,000 a year, it could be less. We wouldn't know what level of support we were needed, but there would be ongoing costs that are not within the report. The other concern of the group, that there was no comparison to any other companies that run crowdfunding schemes. We were only reported information on the Space Hive crowdfunding scheme. There are other schemes out there, and the officer sort of stated that this scheme offered more background support from another company called Locality that would do the business plans, the legality of those business plans, and anything that was brought forward to be able to do that. But on the other hand, they did say that after the 2 years, if we were to stay with Space Hive, that we could probably drop down the support we needed. And I think the group struggled to understand that if we were going for community groups to understand the legality and the business plans and how we could then drop down and have less support than we have already. So that was a bit of concern to start with. It was pointed out as well that organisations and community groups now don't need a local authority to provide a platform for them to crowdfund. They can do that themselves, so not necessarily that they would need us to actually provide it. It's something that they can do themselves. It was in the report that there were other organisations and councils within Leicestershire that are running this. The only one that was shown to us was Leicester City. It was the only one that has a scheme running at the moment under Space Hive. I was a bit concerned about that, so I did go and check on the Leicester City website. And so far, they've only raised £12,872 under their scheme. I did offer the officers how long that scheme has been running. They're not sure. They think it's fairly recent, but last year. But they've only raised £12,000 since last year, and only four products have been fully funded. And there's quite a few products there that are not reaching their targets at all. So if you look at what we're proposing is a £20,000 investment, and Leicester City have only raised £12,000, it doesn't... sort of the figures don't seem to add up, and that's all we had for sort of locally that we could compare to. So that was a great concern to the group. Space Hive have been running since 2012. I went to check on their website as well after reading the report. It states in the report that you've got that 80% of their projects have hit their targets, but if you go on the Space Hive website, it states that only 51% of their projects have actually reached their targets. So that's just half really of the targets and projects that are on there. Only half of those have been, and that's 406 projects that have been delivered since 2012. You know, we were asked why the difference in what was in the report, because the report's stating 80% of projects for the Space Hive is 50%, and the officers just said that the information within the report was provided by Space Hive. So that's a worry that what Space Hive are reporting to the officers is different to what's actually on their website. We were told as well that Leicestershire County Council are considering a crowdfunding scheme. I've not seen any details of that come forward yet within Leicestershire County Council. And then there could be some joined up working together. And the group sort of suggested that maybe we're a bit premature, and if Leicestershire County Council are looking to set up a scheme, then maybe we should wait a little while, see how their scheme goes, and then maybe the boroughs and districts can sort of add on to that and work in partnership with Leicestershire County Council. Also, information that I found on the Space Hive website that isn't in the report, they also charge a 5% fee of any pledge target. So on top of the £40,000 that we're going to be paying out for that, each project then is going to get charged a 5% fee, so that's even more money they need to raise to actually get their project. In the report, Space Hive estimate that for every £1 invested, there's a 250% return. We did question where this is from, and this is explained to us that this would help to get other match funding and allow organisations to access other grants that they wouldn't normally be available to without that money. Another concern, if you look on the back page of your examples of schemes that are run, in the Tower Hamlets example on the back page, it says that Space Hive is costing them £35,000 a year. So there seems to be a lot of inconsistencies within the report and from the information Space Hive have put to us, that we just can't see that there's enough information there for us to approve it, especially with the Leicester City only raising £12,000 in a year and costing £20,000. So the group really couldn't see any evidence within this report that we would get the return of our investment of £40,000 over 2 years, would we actually raise more than £40,000 for projects? And that there was very little evidence within the report, with the clashing of information from what Space Hive have told us to what's on their website. That's also another great concern to the group, that we're not getting the correct information according to what's on their website. So all in all, there was a great concern about the amount of money it's costing, whether it was something that we should be doing as a local authority, or whether that £40,000 could be spent elsewhere, put to better use. What would happen after the 2 years if it didn't work? We're just going to close it down, and that's £40,000 that's gone. And how many schemes are we going to actually do within those 2 years? Because according to Space Hive, only 51% of schemes actually come through. I think that's just about all. I've tried to bullet point as best we can. There was a really long conversation, probably over half an hour, that we spent on this. But all in all, we couldn't look to approve it.
Thank you very much for the detail that you went into there, Councillor Taylor. Can I ask, first off, whether Cabinet have any questions of clarity that they wish to actually ask Councillor Taylor? Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Leader. I actually took the trouble of listening to the recording of the OSG meeting, so it certainly shows the system works. During the meeting, you were told that you would be circulated other detail, quote, circulate details of other companies. Has that actually happened yet?
I've had no further information passed to me or the committee since Monday night.
And secondly, just a little bit more clarity. The report itself made no mention of the fact that this company was charging a 5% fee. I believe they also, on top of that 5% fee, charge these organisations that are engaged in their projects a banker's fee on top of that, so they have to raise even more money. It was also stated at the meeting that Leicestershire County Council, quote, has asked to enter into a relationship with Space Hive. Well, I've found nothing at all on the LCC website or in any minutes or any reports about that. And the leader of Leicestershire County Council, Nick Rushton, emailed me a couple of hours ago stating categorically this is the first he'd ever heard of it. It may be the case, but certainly the leader doesn't know about it.
The information we gave about Leicestershire County Council was that they were in early stage negotiation with Space Hire. That was what was reported to us at OSG.
Okay, are there any other questions of clarity before we actually start any other discussions? No. Councillor Taylor, thank you very much for that. So can I invite Chris Trail, the Strategic Director for Neighbourhoods and Community Wellbeing, to the table? And Chris, can I ask you to make a presentation on the paper for us? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll explain a bit of the background of the report and hopefully cover some of the questions that have been raised at the OSG and any further questions that have arisen since then. The purpose of this report is to seek approval for the establishment of the crowdfunding scheme, and that is the intention to support local voluntary and community sector and potential business in Charnwood. To explain the background to the crowdfunding proposal, it's a concept that we've rehearsed earlier on about is being explored by a number of local authorities and organisations in the voluntary sector. The list is in the appendix, and officers were in a position to seek information from a range of those local authorities. And I think the basis of that is about trying to find innovative ways to ensure our resources and those that we commit to our communities go that bit further. And this is at a time when there are increasing pressures on funding available to the voluntary and community sector. And it is one of the ways that we see crowdfunding can be seen as a way of providing that support to create additional funding. And we also asked authorities how they saw it working in practice. And we did speak to Leicester City, and we also spoke to some of the authorities that were listed in Appendix A. Taking you through the report in paragraph 79 on page 5 of the report explains how crowdfunding works in practice. In simple terms, it is a mechanism where community-generated projects are promoted via a social media platform, and that's to encourage residents and communities to pledge support to this project, so to those projects. It's meant to be collaborative and transparent as to what projects are emerging from the locality, and it is meant to be empowering. It's also meant to make an impact on the community's capacity to deliver projects themselves going forward. Paragraphs 2 and 3 on page 4 of the report explains the options that were considered for a crowdfunding mechanism. We did talk about and look, consider how we could support it running in-house, finding an alternative provider or model, or a partner with a crowdfunding team such as Space Hive. So this report isn't about Space Hive organisation, it's about the crowdfunding mechanism itself. We talked within the team about the capacity with it, that would require staffing, but also the purchase of and running of software systems. Because of the need for these additional skills, and these skills will be honed by another organisation, and access to appropriate legal agreements and software platforms, we didn't think there was a capacity within the team at this point in time. And so the proposal, therefore, was to partner with an organisation that had the capacity to give us that expertise and to access these skills and resources. It does say on Space Hive's website that it is the only bespoke crowdfunding agency that offers additional consultation, legal and software platform support. But as has been suggested, we didn't just rely on the information on their website. And we did talk to other such providers as Just Giving and Voluntary Action Leicester, who currently work with Space Hive in Leicester itself. Just Giving and other providers are not in a position to offer this level of support, and as I said earlier on, this is not available currently in-house. So we did talk to other organisations. In terms of the success rates, it is correct what it says on the both within the report and on the website. The point from Space Hive is that all projects have around about a 52% success rate, all. The success rate that we talked about of over 70% is those that have an additional pledge pot and support, that additional mechanism. And this is supporting the concept that the report, that creating a pledge pot and that ongoing support for consultation and refining of ideas and effective adjudication of projects through a process that Space Hive, in partnership with a council like ourselves, can produce a greater success rate. And I'm sorry if that wasn't clear at OSG, and we did made an effort to try and spell this out this evening. The following implications have also been identified in the report on page 2. The financial implications are correct that the crowdfunding scheme is to be developed over 2 years. That was the proposal in the report. And this would be in partnership with Space Hive to enable that transfer of expertise and knowledge to both the teams in-house and to our communities. Year one and two costs, respectively, are £22,000 and £18,000. And to cover that two-year agreement, it was proposed to take that from the reinvestment reserve, and that is in the report. We have a waste provider, Serco, who partner with us, and they have agreed to provide £20,000 per year to Charnwood Borough Council to support environmental outcomes. And they were pleased and content for this for the proposal for this to be used as a pledge pot for council-identified projects that would be environmental projects. That funding currently is for 2 years, and we had a slight underspend from previous year, so it is £24,000 and £20,000 going forward in 1920. There would also be support in kind from Chalmers Grants Panel and Community Engagement Officers. It's also anticipated as part of an implementation and communication plan. Yes, we were asked at OSG about the potential on the return on investment, and the report did suggest around about 2.5 times the level of investment. So the pledge pot from Charnwood is proposed at £20,000 to £24,000, and it's hoped after a period of consultation that that will produce a return investment of £50,000 to £60,000 minimum. However, it is recognised in the risk table on page 3 of your report that this is always dependent on ensuring the generation of ideas and promotion of the scheme with local organisations. In terms of the environmental projects that we have to date, we have a good take-up of that, and there is good partnership work with Serco and with Quadrin, our grounds maintenance provider, in terms of generating community organisations that aim to generate environmental projects to date. Given the ratio generating 2.5 times, it is hoped that this would therefore justify the proposed investment in the platform, respectively, over that 2-year period. In terms of the cost that was identified by OSG, it is correct that other local authorities pay greater in the region of £30,000, and we had pressed Space Hive around these costs and also around the fact that we were having a pilot period, hence those costs are identified at £22,000 and £18,000 per year for Charnwood. The report proposed the 2-year period, and we were asked what potential costs may occur after that period. We did not refuse at OSG to answer. We just simply said it depended on the sliding scale of what support we wanted to go forward. So it is hoped that during that 2 years, it wasn't that we expected anybody in the community to run that platform themselves. That was not, and I'm sorry if that was misunderstood. It's expected there will be generated learning within the organisation and within the community. So ongoing support from Space Hive, it was hoped that we'd not need to continue at that level. And paragraph 6 of the report explains that and gives the council a range of options to go forward. It was a point, because it is a pilot, it's a point to pause. And paragraph 6 of the report suggests we may want to continue, we may want to continue at a reduced level, just purchasing a software licence, which is in the region of about £10,000, alternatively, Charnwood may wish to cease to, or to work with another provider, and that is an opportunity for us. We may want to tender the work or cease altogether. And organisations could access other platforms independently. The intention around creating a partnership with Space Hive at this point in time is that we nurture a relationship with organisations in our locality and try and hone those skills. So overall, the aim is to create a sustainable funding landscape by using the value of what is intended to be a high-profile and quality-driven campaign that is focused locally, and that is to attract more funding, either from the private sector, from the public and from other grants, and this was pointed out and highlighted to OSG. The example that we gave was around the Heritage Lottery Fund, and if a community organisation is able to pledge a certain amount within a locality and has that pledge amount there, then they can use that as a tool to be able to go to organisations like Heritage Lottery and generate wider income. So what would the role of the council be? And that is covered on page 6 of the report. It is suggested the council will effectively operate as honest broker. It means resourcing and working with an organisation like Space Hive, and that's about establishing a generic brand webpage for Charnwood projects. So is the intention is around creating something that is quality and understood and universal. It's also about working with that organisation to create financial and legal agreements. In terms of the council as well, it also helps align it with our own strategic objectives for the corporate plan. I've mentioned about the intention around passporting the grant funding that is made available to the council through its waste partner, Serco. And there is an expectation going forward that the council will continue to have a quality control of the webpage and projects to ensure that there is efficient and effective delivery of its own projects. the role of Space Hive and the partner, their partner locality, is covered in page 7. But before I move on to that, I just wanted to talk about some of the discussion that was around OSG and other organisations and local authorities in Leicestershire. We did explain that Leicester City was operating a scheme, and we did suggest that Leicestershire was in discussions with Space Hive at this point in time. Both of those remain true, and I'm not party to the leaders' conversations, but I don't think that would operate at that level. Organisations like Space Hub would probably have initial focus and discussion at an officer level. Leicester City has been going for 6 months, and some of that period of time, of that first 6 months, has been generating a new grants pot, which they've not been in a position before to use as a pledge pot. They have so far to date committed out of that pledge pot £2,500 of Leicester City Council's own money. And yes, that has generated £13,000 in the locality of pledge from local organisations. The success of those isn't accurate, as was portrayed earlier on. There are six projects, four of which have been successful, one unsuccessful, and one currently creating a pledge scenario platform at the moment. Moving on to the role of Space Hive and their partner locality, that is covered on page 7. Space Hive do not initiate projects themselves. They provide the platform. Those projects wanting to participate in a crowdfunding proposal would apply online, and the intention is that Space Hive will facilitate this through their social media platform for projects in the borough. They'll deal with the pledges and ensure the necessary financial security is in place, and they'll also be responsible with dealing with individuals and organisations who pledge to a project in the event that it does not ultimately proceed. There is no risk for the council here. In terms of the 5%, yes, that was identified at OSG, and that is industry standard. So whether we as an organisation went to Space Hive or to Just Giving or another crowdfunding organisation, that is clearly spelled out in their role of working with the community organisations. Page 8, trauma community projects and realisable benefits. It is hoped fundamentally that it creates a change and a shift in culture and a professionalisation of some of our community organisations. And as I said at the outset, it is the intention that it makes not just the money that Charnwell Borough Council gives in resource to the voluntary and community sector, it is hoped that that makes that resource go further and then creates a culture and a learning that enable those organisations to use these tools going forward. I'll pause there for questions and any consideration or recommendations.
Great. Thank you very much. A lot of detail, but I suspect probably some questions as well. Any particular questions to start off with? Councillor Mercer.
Could I ask a couple of questions and then say something after that? Is that okay? First, you keep on mentioning locality as a partner organisation. What makes them qualified to actually judge whether these local projects are suitable? And secondly, the argument seems to be that only Space Hive can actually fulfil this function. No other company out there is able to do this. Therefore, can I ask, of all of the local authorities, and in fact there seems to be one or two companies dropped in here as well in the appendix, if that is the case, do they all use Space Hive?
In terms of your first question, that the locality is the partner organisation with Space Hive, and that organisation has presented a series of checks that they will put in place in terms of financial vetting and expertise and the viability of projects. They have provided a summary, a portfolio of work that they have done to Space Hive and contracted on that basis. They're not contracting directly with the council, and the council would not expect to vet their decision-making. What the council would expect to do is to work in partnership with Space Hive and their expertise around that as well. In terms of your second question, I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand the question. Sorry, you said...
As an example... You said it as an example to us of many other local authorities who are engaged in crowdfunding. There are a number of local authorities listed in the appendix. The argument was only Space Hive is capable of doing this. Therefore, the question is it the case that all of these local authorities use Space Hive?
I think two separate things. The report actually explains that there are a number of crowdfunding organisations. There isn't an argument. There is a proposal that Space Hive have some degree of expertise that is bespoke to them and goes above and beyond some other organisations. In terms of the examples on the back, my understanding is either the majority of them do seem to have had some work with Space Hive, but they're actually individually listed against the case examples. We have got a current list from Space Hive as to which of those local authorities, and that can be provided after the meeting. Also, sorry, just while I remember, we did offer to provide that information for OSG, and that can be provided after this meeting. There was no intention to withhold that prior to this meeting.
Councillor Bursa, you were going to add something else you said.
Yeah, but in fact, the correct answer is locality is just a national registered charity that represents local community groups. And there's nothing that I can see to suggest that it has any particular qualifications to carry out this task. The second point is that of these local authorities, not all of them do use Space Hive. A number of them do actually use another company called Crowdfunder UK. Now, Crowdfunder, so far as I can see, is just as qualified as Space Hive to carry out this task. And that's a decision that a lot of councils have already taken. Lambeth, Stirling, Harrow, Birmingham, Staffordshire, and so on and so on. And in fact, both of them have about an equal number of local authority clients. Both of them see themselves as rivals. The critical difference between the two, so far as I can see, and the reason I was concerned about why we were opting for Space Hive and not even approaching this other company. The first thing this other company had ever heard about John Wood was when it actually saw the report earlier this week, is that the other company is actually approximately four times larger, employs 40 people, not six people, and has over 1,000 shareholders, whereas Space Hive seems to be largely composed of shareholders who are venture capitalists, including a company which doesn't appear to exist in the UK, Outer Space Hive Limited. To me, that looked like an offshore company, and I emailed them earlier this week, and I said, what is Outer Space Hive Limited? And I got an unclear answer about it. So my point is simply that if we are actually looking towards bringing in an outside company, when there are two companies that are just as good at fulfilling this function, because both of them have 16 local authority clients, why have we only had meetings with one of them and discussions with one of them? And of course, if you ask that company, are you the best person? Of course they're going to say, are you the best person? And you said the advantage of them is that they use locality to vet their clients. Well, one of the companies used by the other one is one of the authorities used by the other company is Plymouth City Council, and I have here its vetting form for companies, which is done very rigorously. So I really don't think that is a reason just to offer our contract with this first company simply because it uses a national charity. And leader, my second concern about this. So my first concern is why we're opting for one company. Why don't we at least put it out to tender? Because if you look at the contracts that other authorities have awarded, some of them are quite a lot less than what we're proposing to spend on Space Hive. And the second one is one of a matter of principle. I don't think we should go into crowdfunding without actually asking whether we as a council want to engage in something which local authorities are quite capable of doing themselves. And one of the founders of Space Hive actually left. He was called Rod Davis because he disagreed with what it was doing. And he later wrote a thesis about crowdfunding. And he made the very important point that crowdfunding is, in his phrase, what the crowd wants to fund. And he says that if you look at all these crowdfunding schemes, that those that are missing are schemes to do with homelessness or mental health because the crowd aren't interested in funding those. If you look at Leicester, they're backing tag archery and a minibus for a riding school. And I saw one proposal to help hedgehogs, which I'm sure all very worthy causes. But ultimately, I think what we should be doing is using our resources to help projects which actually have some meaning to people rather than hedgehogs. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Councillor Fidrich, you had a question.
Thank you, Leader. Thanks, Chris, for your input. I must admit, two things came out of it for me when I first read it. I looked at what was at the back. I kept thinking, what it would excite me on that, because a lot of it we had already done. I mean, we've got the sock man. I was sort of trying to think of a sock woman at the other end of the marketplace, but I couldn't. There was nothing that I could think, but other people might, and you might have other ideas of what would we go for if we had a list now that we don't already do? That was my first question. But paragraph four on page four, I kept thinking, are we really wanting to pay more for a training and support for us to do it ourselves rather than the actual money? That was the thought that was in my mind. Is it the training, the expertise and the software that we're trying to sort of, well, that we're paying for basically there? Because it could all go, let's use the expression, belly up and just not work at all. So if we did have 40,000, that was clear now, 20,000 this year, 20,000, what would we want to do with it that we're not already doing? So those were the thoughts that I had in my mind when I read the report.
Margaret, do you want Chris to actually answer that, or is that a statement?
Well, yes, if you could, yes. It was.
Just to clarify, do you want me to answer the points as well from Councillor Mercer, or are we going to have a summary of?
Well, what I was going to suggest to you, everyone, is that we actually do questions to start with, and then any statements from that point onwards. So anything that takes up to now could be treated as questions, and any questions that people want to ask and answer, they can ask with Chris, and then we can actually debate the points after that.
So do you want me to do? Sorry. Okay. In terms of the points that Councillor Mercer made, in terms of Leicester City, that is a matter for the choice for them as to what projects have been generated. Our community will generate different projects, and in terms of the projects, and it's also a little bit going towards Councillor Smidovich's question, is we've already had an existing pot of £20,000, £24,000 potentially for this year, towards environmental projects. Some of those have already generated ideas for, you know, community gardens and for environmental schemes and works and projects that actually, you know, benefit our localities and make them look better and different. The intention really around that, and I have high hopes of any of that. We're not short of ideas in Charnwood that could continue to match that, and we also have a lot of friends groups and organisations, community activities very much alive and well in Charnwood. So if there is a potential to use any of our funding, the intention is around, yes, we can get those organisations to come up with good ideas. Will this resource, however we use it, the intention is to try and create a resource that makes that money go a little bit further. So however we use it, whether it's through crowdfunding or encouraging organisations to use it as a loan or leverage in any other way, it's just around trying to create that culture of self-help and self-sufficiency, and actually having the tools that you say about understanding how to bid for resources going forward and how to become that professionalisation of understanding how generating additional income can work. Also, sorry, just to answer Councillor Mercer's point, I said at the outset, this isn't about space life, it's about creating a culture. We didn't just go to one organisation, and I've made that clear. What we actually had suggested was it's the level of expertise at Space Hive have at a certain level. You want one level, not necessarily comparing light with light, because they're very different organisations in terms of size. We did speak with organisations like Just Giving and Voluntary Action Leicester. Voluntary Action Leicester felt they didn't have whilst they understand the crowdfunding concept and promote that concept with localities, they have very little capacity to support community organisations. In addition, I spoke to an officer from Just Giving about their capacity, and they felt that they offered a very minimal support, even though they felt they were clear about the understanding and concept of crowdfunding. They also, both organisations, recognised why there was a difference in the offer made from Space Hive. In terms of the question around tendering, this was the proposal around using a pilot, and there is never an intention to step away from a proposal around tendering. That may be an offer in future. This report simply suggested a pilot may be useful in the sense of having the ability to generate ideas and also to create that understanding around what crowdfunding actually means. I think lastly also to say around going forward, the ability and capacity of organisations as to what they crowdfund for, and there was a number of examples, that is really around the ideology of each individual locality. So Charnwood may wish to fund environmental projects. Yes, it may also wish to fund wider projects around homelessness and mental health. That is entirely a matter for this community, and there was never any intention in this report to step away from that. These are merely proposals that we are putting up to be able to ensure that this community can, as I said at the outset, make its funding go further.
Okay, thanks a lot. I had a couple more questions. I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy, because actually you had your hand up first, and then I'll ask Councillor Poland. And again, we'll deal with questions first and then debate afterwards.
Yes, thank you, Leader. I'll just get me out of the way, so to speak, because this is, I'm making a bit of a statement, really, rather than asking a direct question. I actually welcome the OSG report. I thought it was very helpful. But so as your report, Chris, and Councillor Mercer's points were, I think, were very valid. It leaves me in a place to think there's maybe perhaps a little bit more work to do on this. But overall, you know, I welcome reports like this, ones that are not black and white, ones that are not easy, but one where shows where officers have used some initiative, have generated new ideas for the borough for quite worthy debate, and I wouldn't want to see that dampened, that enthusiasm dampened from this evening, because I do think that, you know, there's a lot of good ideas out there. And I think we've got some enthusiastic staff, and I'd like to see this report probably go for a little bit more work, and then some decisions can be made. Thank you, Leader.
Councillor Poland, can I have you got a question?
Thank you, Leader. I have three. First of all, the money that looking to be we're looking to use for this is from Serco, if I'm understanding the report correctly. Is that money that would otherwise have been earmarked for other projects? Is it time limited, so they say to us you have to use it by X date, otherwise you lose it? Is it money that would otherwise we could just put into general funds? I was just interested to get a bit more information on that. Second question is, I guess, more about crowdfunding in general as a concept. Is what we're hearing, it's about donating to, it's not about investing in a project in the sense that you expect a return, a financial return as an individual, it's about donating. And if it is about donating, how does that differ from fundraising in the traditional way, albeit via online? I do a sponsored walk, I email all my friends and ask them to donate 20 quid for cancer research or whatever. Is that basically the same thing? And if not, how does it differ? And thirdly, I think we may have touched on it, I'm not sure. Is there any crowdfunding going on in Charnwood at the moment outside the sphere of local government? So, is this something that the community can do on its own, which we can then just promote because we can, as opposed to us actually having to invest and run the thing ourselves? And again, if there's just a bit more information on that, please, Chris. Thank you.
Sorry, Chair. I'll get the direction in the end. Thank you. In terms of your three questions, the Serco pot, a pot of money has, it's identified in the financial implications, but I'll just make sure it's a little bit clearer. In terms of previous years, there has been a range of projects generated through the local community where they've been able to effectively bid for that pot of money, so effectively used as a grant fund. It's been mostly spent in previous years, and there is 4,000 that will carry forward into this year. Serco will make available the pot of money for this coming year and in 2019 and 20, a further £20,000. Would any of that money be lost to other projects? No, because the potential is that organisations and community organisations could effectively bid for that money, but also then use that in that way to create further pledges, so to add to their money. In terms of, you said about donating. Is it how is it different? It's at one level, it's not. With modern technology, it's creating a platform where people can make their pledge in that media, but also the ability around that. You might get somebody who offers to make a donation, and historically might offer to make a donation. In using this social platform in this way, there are financial mechanisms that secures the pledge. So it's about using those financial mechanisms so that it's a secure basis. So it helps create that security. Is crowdfunding happening in Charnwood? At present, I can't speak for all organisations, but there are crowdfunding platforms and organisations can do that. There was never the intention to step away from that. This is really about proposing a resource that helps Charnwood creative projects or Charnwood generated projects through this pledge pot, or an additional any other organisation in Charnwood to have a visible platform and expertise that they can use. So it was really creating about Charnwood using its own vehicle to be able to do that and that resource to offer that support. I hope I've covered all three points.
Thank you very much, Chris. Councillor Barclay, you had a question.
It's not a question, it's more a statement. I think RSG...
Just before you do, are there any more questions? Sorry, Tom, because if it's a statement, then we'll do...
Yeah, this is literally a follow-up question. You mentioned that the other projects that won't be missing out on money because they'll be getting money presumably with a view to crowdfunding them at least that amount and more. Are we guaranteeing anything with them in terms of finances? Because obviously if we say to them, there's a difference between us saying here's a grant of 20 grand, right, and us saying... we've given you the facility to crowdfund yourself, because they've obviously got to raise that amount of money themselves, and if they don't, they will lose out. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to you, Chris?
It does, but also enables those organisations to set a pledge level that they think is appropriate. So that is for them to explore. And... in that sense, I don't see organisations losing out. We haven't made a commitment around doing that, but do bear in mind also there's very different organisations bid every year and have different needs and capacity. I wouldn't be able to speak for organisations that have applied in the past. I think the intention is about really supporting them to be able to identify what is important to them and how they see they're going to make that happen.
Okay, any further questions before we sort of open for statements or general debate? Councillor Barclay.
Thank you. I've listened to the ASG report, I've listened to what's been said tonight. I think a lot of work's gone into it, but we are paying £40,000 over 2 years into this scheme to enable us to get a return which we're not certain of. There are other... there are other companies out there who do this. I think there's an awful lot of questions being raised in my mind by what Overview and Scrutiny has said. My own personal feeling is that perhaps we need to look at it a little longer and get some answers to the questions that have been raised by Councillor Mercer and Overview and Scrutiny. I very much like Councillor Vardy, I don't want to stifle initiative, but by the same token, I'm not convinced that it's fair to officers to pass a report where there are so many questions, and then if it goes wrong, we didn't have the answer to those questions. That's it.
Thank you very much. Do we have any other points that anyone wishes to make? Before otherwise, I'm going to pass over to Councillor Page. Councillor Mercer, just one last point.
Just a quick answer to the earlier question is that there is already a lot of crowdfunding activity taking place in Loughborough. It does not need the involvement of a council with £40,000. Any organisation can actually do it. And one organisation that did do it was the Green Party at the last election to pay for its election expenses. It ran a successful campaign. The Loughborough University is doing it all the time. And my personal view is that there are mechanisms there and it doesn't really need our involvement.
Thank you very much. Councillor Page.
Thank you, Chair. I think taking in the general viewpoint of the Cabinet and the questions that have been asked in OSG, I think I'd like to change the recommendation and make an amendment to it that we postpone this decision until the next cycle to give the officers a chance to actually put in writing and to view other answers to the questions that have been raised. So I'd like to put that as an amendment. Have you got a second?
I'd like to second that.
Thank you.
Are you reasonably clear about what the recommendation is? Okay. So we have a
proposal, we have a seconder. Should we take a vote on that to start off with? Is everyone happy with that as a proposal? Okay. Thank you very much. Right. Chris, thank you very much for all of that. A huge amount of debate. I have to say thank you very much for that. Councillor Page.
I'd just like to say thank you to Chris because she has been in the hot seat tonight and she's behaved very well. She hasn't actually shouted at anyone. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're now on to item 7. I appreciate also we've spent a fair amount of time on that first item and it's quite a long agenda. However, we obviously want to make sure that all of the items are given the appropriate level of debate and discussion. So at 8 o'clock, if we're still going, I'm going to propose that we actually have a 5-minute recess just so people can take a trip to another room. And then we'll come back and carry on if everyone's happy. And it may well be that Councillor Harper-Davis has still got some sweets left. So if we can start on item 7, which is the homeless strategy paper. So can I ask Alison Simmons, who's the head of strategic and private sector housing, to come to the table? And also ask Councillor Mercer to introduce this report. Thank you.
Thank you. This is the homeless strategy and action plan, which has passed the rigours of being examined by PSG. It actually only covers 2 years, although it is up to, as it says, up to 2020, simply because in 2 years' time we intend to review the implications of the Homelessness Reduction Act and then realign our strategy with the housing strategy to produce a joint housing and homelessness strategy. What's quite important and what's reflected in this fairly very impressive document is the fact that we are going to need extra resources to meet the requirements of the Act. And one of the key functions I think we'll find is the appointment of a social lettings coordinator. It also shows the very active way in which we're addressing the problem of rough sleepers. And I think it brings out the fact that one of the reasons for the pressures that we are having to deal with homelessness is the end of assured shorthold tenancy. Anyway, over to Alison.
Thank you very much, Chair. The report, of, as Councillor Mercer has already alluded to, is to approve the Homeless Strategy and Action Plan. Since the Homelessness Act in 2002, there's been a legal obligation for all local housing authorities to have a homelessness strategy. We presented our first strategy in 2003, subsequent strategies in 2008 and 2013. The Homeless Reduction Act is the biggest change in the homelessness legislation in the last 20 years, proposing several new duties. And one part of the legislation was to review the existing strategy to ensure that the new strategy reflects the changes in the legislation. So a review was carried out of the existing strategy, and on in Appendix 1, page 4 and 5, it provides the success that we've achieved since our last strategy was put in place, working with partners, because without partners we wouldn't be able to deliver the strategy. The aim of the new Act is to improve the legal framework to prevent and tackle single homelessness more effectively in England. So the strategy is to ensure that we comply with the Homeless Reduction Act, we ensure we remain focused on continuous improvement and support reform across the wider system and improve the support available to local residents. The new Act puts an emphasis on a holistic assessment, so we're not just looking at accommodation, we're looking at support, the situation that has led the person to become homeless and what we then need to do to ensure that they've got the support to obtain and retain their accommodation. So we've carried out extensive consultation with many of our partners through our Homeless Strategy Steering Group, our Registered Providers and Benefit Liaison Group, our own team who are dealing with customers on a day-to-day basis, and we put a Survey Monkey out on the Council and Choice Based Lettings website asking for responses in relation to the objectives. The objectives of the strategy are detailed on page 7, so it clearly sets out the aims of the strategy, that we have a strong and effective partnership working, early targeted advice and intervention to prevent the loss of accommodation, effective action to relieve homelessness, support to sustain tenancies and prevent repeat homelessness, and to protect and increase local housing options. Appendix 2 to the report sets out the results of the consultation and also the results of the meeting where we presented this to policy scrutiny and the changes that have been made in line with the responses that we've received. We will be ensuring that we monitor this, and that is clearly set out in the strategy how we will do that, not only through our multi-homelessness strategy steering group, but also the council's performance scrutiny.
You finished at a point when I wasn't expecting you to finish, so... Thank you very much for that. I have to say, reading the report, exceptionally thorough report. I think Councillor Mercer has made a very, very good point at the beginning about the quality of the report, and the objectives that have been set out are very, very clear, good to read. Thank you. Any questions to start off with to Alison? Councillor Harper-Davis.
I think it's an absolutely superb piece of work, Alison, and I think with yourself and Paul, I think it's really a gold standard document. From homelessness, I have no particular reason why I'm very passionate about homelessness, but certainly from a walkabout I did the year before last, you realise how desperate some of these people are, and I think in this document, every eventuality with those particular people who we see rough sleeping and generally homeless is covered. I think it's really nice to see the prison release protocol. I know the walkabout that I did on a very, very, very cold night, two of the prisoners that we took to McDonald's, they said, well, you know, we're better off in prison because we haven't really got anywhere to go. I think it's really, you know, I guess we're not going to reach out to everybody, but I think if we have a document such as this, to that consequences, we've done all we could possibly do. So I really welcome it, and thank you so much for doing all the work that you've done it.
Thank you very much. Councillor Vardy.
Thank you, and thank you, Lee, because that was more or less what I was going to say, that, you know, I've got a history many years ago and witnessing homelessness, and I've now seen the great strides that have been made to improve this particular problem that we have in society. It's not just a new thing either. You know, it's been going on since time immemorial for a variety of reasons. And it really is an excellent report, very clear. It gives clear guidelines, etc. Just one question, though, to give a perspective on this. I know you've done one or two, there's some sweeps done, if you want to call it that, a few months ago, wasn't there, in the borough. Do you know roughly how many people are actually homeless? I'm not talking about sofa hopping or whatever it's called and various other things. How many actually sleeping out on the streets through either choice or any other reason that we know about.
In relation to rough sleeping, we carried out an annual count for the last 2 years. The first year we carried out an annual sweep. Councillor Mercer was part of the party going round, and we found one rough sleeper who we found accommodation for. But when we'd finished the particular area of the town that we were doing, we found the same rough sleeper that had decided not to take the accommodation on that night and had decided to sleep in the car park. On the last count we did, there was nobody. But I'd say probably on an estimate it might be 2 to 3 people, because it was just on those particular night we didn't find anybody. We do operate SWEP, which is severe weather protocol, where when the temperatures drop below freezing for 3 days, we provide accommodation, and then people are referred into us and we provide them with accommodation for the night through the Falcon Centre. So everything we can do, we do. And if we get a report via StreetLink, or if a councillor rings up or a resident that there is a rough sleeper, we go out to talk to them and we try and find them accommodation. Even on the nights when we've done the rough sleepers, when we've seen people and we've said, oh, have you got somewhere to stay tonight? Because especially on the first year we did it, it was a very cold night. Yes, we've sorted ourselves out. So on really cold nights, people do find accommodation. There will be people, maybe the 2 or 3 that may be on the streets that won't engage with the council even as much as we do, or through the bridge in trying to provide accommodation.
Thank you very much. Councillor Harper-Davis, I've seen, also then Councillor Boker, and then Councillor Barclay.
I just wanted to say, I think it probably about 3 years ago, and I think if we're totally transparent, we weren't aware of sort of regular names of people that we do find on the streets, whether they're homeless or generally homeless or rough sleepers. But I do know, working in collaboration with the bridge, then I do know we have a watch and we have a list now. So obviously from a data protection point of view, it's sort of in-house. But I think it's comforting to know we do know the regulars, and there is a list of them, and then they're on a watch, so that we're obviously wary of where they are and how they are.
Thank you, Leader. It might well be in your report, but I didn't see it. How do we compare then, if you have done these sweeps and you are suggesting there's 2 to 3 rough sleepers, how do you think that compares to other towns in the country of comparable size?
I'm not sure I can actually answer that, but I can obtain some information and circulate it after the meeting. Because I know, I think the count that the city did, they found 30 plus.
Right.
But that's obviously not the same size as Charnwood. But I will look into that and provide you with some facts after the meeting.
Well, the reason I ask the question is that I have a feeling that we, working with our partners, like the bridge, etc., do a very good job in finding alternative accommodation for people in this borough. And I, from a performance point of view, although it shouldn't be measured in that way, I think you will find that we already do an excellent job, and now we can add to that with further protocols.
Okay, Councillor Barclay, and then I'm going to ask a question after that, if that's okay.
Yeah, I know how much work's gone into this, and I know Alison tried to frighten me with the financial implications early on, about 6 months ago, but seriously, I think we have a duty to help these people. Clearly, it is a problem which is not overwhelming in our borough, but it's an excellent report, and my comment is I just thank you for all the hard work you put in, Alison.
Thank you very much. Alison, really just a question from something I was reading this morning, knowing that we were discussing this tonight. There was a particular article in the Times that drew my attention, which was a scheme that was under consideration elsewhere, where people who didn't have any fixed abode, obviously there are great benefits by actually having a mailing address that people can actually then use as a constant reference point for third-party organisations. And a particular council, and I will find the article for you at some point, were considering actually using fixed locations in areas as potential mailing points as far as reference, albeit that actually they were acting as a mailing house themselves to allow people with no fixed abode to actually effectively access services and other facilities that are not necessarily available to them now, given that they have no fixed abode. Is that something that you've heard about? And if so, what do you actually think?
I think in relation to that, that is a very good idea. And I think that probably the Bridge and the Falcon Centre already offer that service for people that maybe have lived there previously or attend their drop-in sessions. But I'd need to confirm that. But as part of the new Act, we have to produce pathways for particular groups. And I think some of the people that you'd be referring to, like we've already mentioned the prison protocol, and persons being discharged from hospital, and people with mental health problems, people that drug misuse that are on the streets, as part of the pathways, we can ensure that we can include that within it, because we're working with partner agencies. So it'll be the agencies where people will go to see and will engage that maybe we can see if they can do that for us, so we can integrate that in the work going forward.
Thank you very much. Councillor Spirish.
It's not a question, it's more a comment. I happened this morning to be at the Carpenter's Arms talking to some of the folk there, and they were saying, it was you mentioning about prisons, that it's absolutely vital to be met outside the prison, otherwise you end up in other places you wouldn't want to be. But equally, I've mentioned to Paul Mercer before the meeting that I've had a phone call tonight that I was going to actually talk to you, hopefully in the next week, from somebody outside who's got quite an innovative idea on just the very things we've been talking about. So it was just an opportune moment to pick that up there.
More the ideas, the better. Absolutely. Councillor Page.
Just a quickie. We're talking a lot about people who are rough sleeping, but there's a lot more homeless people out there who are not rough sleeping. There are people who have been turned out of homes. And I think it's nice to know that we have a strategy for even looking after them, because there are more of them, and therefore, to my mind, they're more important. Thank you. All people are important, but... yeah.
Emphasis on certain groups. You're right, absolutely. Alison, I think we've probably had all the questions asked that everyone's asked at least one, if not two, so thank you very much. That's obviously an extremely interesting report, I think, for everyone. Can I ask Councillor Mercer to make a proposal, and then I'll seek a seconder?
I think a very important point that Councillor Page made is that rough sleeping is only a small part of the problem, but it's the sharp end, it's the one that people see. And in the 2 years that I've had this responsibility, I've always made a point where I come across anybody begging or later at night appearing to rough sleep, actually asking them if they've got somewhere to go, and then checking in with the Bridge to find out if there is somewhere to go. And as an example, a few days ago, there was a chap outside the town hall who was sitting with a dog asking for money, and he said, "Nobody is looking after me. I haven't been in any contact with anybody." I checked, and I was told, well, not only had he been offered accommodation that night, but the Bridge had also arranged for him to attend a rehab clinic. I'm sure there are cases of rough sleepers who come into the town and have no contact with anybody for a short while, but we have very successfully intercepted all of them as quickly as possible and offered somewhere for them to stay. So I'm very happy with the way in which it's running. At the moment, what I'd therefore like to propose are the four recommendations on page one.
Councillor Harper-Davis to second.
Yes, Leader, thank you. I have absolute pleasure in seconding the strategy, because I think as well, one day your life can be fine and the next day it can't be fine, and any one of us could be in that position. So I think I'm very passionate, and I thank you so much, and I absolutely have immense pleasure in seconding. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I see all of those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Alison, thank you very much for your time. Right. Item number 8, which is the Housing Capital Programme. Can I please ask that Councillor Taylor, there's an OSG report, I think, on this one. Sorry, a policy. You were a couple of seconds too early. So, Councillor Taylor, if you can come to the table, please. And then Councillor Mercer, if you'd like to introduce the item, and then also invite Councillor Taylor to present the OSG report.
All right. Okay, I would like to present the Housing Capital Programme for 2018-19. In March 2013, the Cabinet approved the Chandler Standard for Property Improvements. This was an enhanced standard compared to the Decent Homes Standard. The Housing Revenue Account Business Plan in the following year, in 2014, committed us to delivering a zero non-decency standard in general needs housing accommodation by the end of 2016-17. And then delivering the Charnwood standard in tenanted dwellings within 5 years, which takes us to 2019. At the present time, there are no non-decency accommodation in Charnwood's general needs stock, and this capital programme that we're proposing tonight will ensure that the Charnwood standard in general needs stock is delivered in line with our business plan. Leader, the programme will enhance the quality of life for tenants and their families. It will improve our estates and communal areas, and critically, it will keep tenants safe, as well as supporting our most vulnerable tenants to live more independently in their own homes.
Thank you, Leader. I certainly won't take up as much time as I did last time. The group did welcome this report, actually. There wasn't that much that we could say on it, to be honest, but it was good to actually have a look at it. I think one of the main things for us was how this was going to be managed. Obviously, we're well aware of the previous contract. We're now with new contractors. So we were advised that there would be regular monthly meetings to monitor progress against key indicators, which I think is really important to know that we're going to be keeping a close eye on that. It was pointed out that the amount of money being spent in the next financial year was much lower than the previous years, and that was again, due to the quality of our housing stock and how much is approved over the years, that we don't need to be spending as much money as we were before. Now we've got to that standard, and as Councillor Mercer said, there's no non-decent general needs housing stock. There was questions asked about our sheltered housing, and we were confirmed that there are some non-decent sheltered housing properties in the borough, but that work was being carried out without at the moment, so we will look forward to that coming forward and getting that stock up to the correct level. The capital plan was fully funded. And there was questions asked by the group about gaining access to properties, because obviously we're aware that some people just do not like any work done in their homes, and so there are stuff that we can't get in to do, and we were told that when those properties are empty, then we would be able to move in and make those improvements that needed to be done, and any damage was obviously tried to recover the cost from the tenants that are previous left. But there was concerns about the gas safety checks, but we were told and assured that there is a process in place for gaining access to properties to carry out the gas safety check so that they are done. But other than that, we're very happy to support this proposal.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. Are there any questions or clarity that anyone wish to ask, Councillor Taylor? Question or clarity?
Just to clarify, last conversation I had with the lead officer, we had one lady who wouldn't let us into the property to get her gas checked. That was just clarity is just one, as far as I was aware.
Okay, thank you very much. Any other questions of clarity? No. In that case, Councillor Taylor, thank you very much. Can I now ask Peter Oliver, Head of Strategic Private, Head of Landlord Services, I'm giving you a completely different title.
My new job tonight.
I was going to say. If you'd like to come to the table with a name badge. And when you're ready, if you'd like to present the report, and then we'll ask questions. Thank you.
The purpose of this report is for Cabinet to consider the Housing Capital Programme 2018-19, as attached to Appendix A. The Charnwood Standard for Kitchens, Bathrooms and Heatings is based on replacement of these components after a set number of years. So we've used component data from the Council systems to inform the programme, and the £1,456,300 investment in kitchens, bathrooms and heating will ensure that the Charnwood standard in tenanted dwellings is achieved by 2019. The programme continues investment in the communal area of flats, where work will include painting, new flooring and lighting, combined with new roofs where needed. This work will support the Council's intended corporate business plan outcome to make Charnwood an attractive place for all and will enhance the quality and livability of our communal areas and estates. £600,000 has been identified for roofing, and the budgets for communal area and estate improvement works totals £555,000. Again, in line with the corporate business plan intended outcomes, this programme will keep tenants and their families safe. Communal areas will be more secure through a £200,000 investment in new and upgraded security doors. The programme will also support compliance with the Council's statutory duties, with £100,000 for fire safety works, £150,000 for asbestos works, and £50,000 for smoke detection and communal carbon monoxide alarms in tenants' homes. The programme ensures that there is appropriate provision made for disabled tenants and their families, with £560,000 identified for adaptations to tenants' homes. These works will include remodelling of properties, accessible bathrooms, grab rails, ramps, and the installation and upgrade of stair lifts. Some of the Council's most vulnerable tenants will be supported through delivery of the programme. The programme is fully funded within the HRA. The Housing Management Advisory Board has been consulted, and the Board endorses the capital investment priorities identified in the report. Subject to terms and contract, the core work programmes will be delivered by the Council's scheduled new capital contractor, Fortum Solutions Limited, and mobilisation for the new contract is underway and progressing positively. So, to conclude, the programme is fully funded and is based on the priorities set out in the business plan. The programme is informed using component data and will ensure delivery of the Decent Homes and Charnwood standards. The programme will help to keep tenants safe and will support the Council's compliance with statutory duties and legislation. Delivery of the programme will enable disabled tenants and their families to live more independently. Tenants have been consulted, and the 18-19 programme is fully supported by members of the Housing Management Advisory Board. Cabinet is asked to approve the 18-19 capital programme, which amounts to £7,257,300.
Thank you very much, Peter. That's great. Do we have any questions that anyone wishes to ask on this paper? Gosh, absolutely no questions. It obviously was an exceptionally well-presented paper. Fantastic. Okay, in that case, can I ask Councillor Mercer to make a recommendation, and then I'm going to ask Councillor Harper-Davis to second if that's possible.
Having eliminated non-decency, we are now striving to meet the Charnwood standard. Under the previous item, we should be proud of the fact that we are dealing with the problem of people without homes, and with this item we should be proud of what we are doing to help people with homes. And on that basis, I would like to propose that the Housing Capital Plan for 2018-19 amounting to £7,257,300 be approved.
And I'd like to second that, leader, please.
I'm assuming that's all for the reasons on page one. Yes. Okay. Thank you. Okay. If we can take a vote in favour of that proposition. That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Peter. Okay. We're now on to item nine, which is the business plan for 2018-19. Can I ask that Councillor Taylor come to the table for the second and last OSG report. You're a very, very busy meeting, I think, probably on Tuesday, by the sounds of this. I'm going to really just set out the fact that this is as clearly a paper that sets out what we're going to do in the coming year, or what the authority is going to be doing in the coming year. This paper is drawn from our corporate plan and clearly puts into practice our aims and strategies for the authority. So with that, I'm going to pass over to Councillor Taylor to give you a report from the RSG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Leader. The group did find this a really interesting report, to be honest, to find out what the Council are planning to do over the next year and how we're measuring against all our key targets. So they did find it very interesting to read through. The main areas we're highlighting was the website. That's undergoing improvements at the moment, so that's something that the group was looking forward to, and there's a programme in place to improve those services. As we mentioned in the past about the voice recognition software, but that was a queried why that wasn't programmed for this year. that the group was advised that the council are just focusing on other improvements that would benefit customer access to services. So we look forward to the new website when that goes live. The indicators included were those that the council were able to influence or control. It was appreciated the list was not exhaustive, but those identified were regarded as key targets. And the group was pleased to see encouraging healthy lifestyles for all residents, including as one of the outcomes, and the Fusion team were commended for their good work. But all in all, the group were very happy to support this recommendation.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. Are there any questions of clarity for Councillor Taylor? No questions of clarity. Thank you very much. Right. Can I ask... Sorry. There we go. Suzanne. If you'd like to come to the table. So Suzanne Kender, who is the Corporate Improvement and Policy Officer. And Suzanne, thank you very much. Would you like to present the business plan, and then we can ask questions? Thank you.
Thank you. So the purpose of this report is to present the Council's business plan for 2018-19 as attached to Appendix A for approval by yourselves here at Cabinet. This business plan is a one-year plan for 2018-19, which supports delivery of the corporate plan 16-20. It sets out both the key activities that services will undertake to deliver the objectives and the key corporate indicators that will be used to monitor progress. You will note that the particular indicators have been broken up into direct and indirect, as requested by yourselves here at Cabinet this time last year. This is the third business plan of the 16-20 corporate plan. To note, the performance indicators set out in the business plan will be reported on a quarterly basis to the Performance Scrutiny Panel to monitor progress and achievement against the activities, ensuring that all activities are delivered and targets are on track. It's worth also to note that feedback was sought from residents in autumn 2017 via our Council's resident survey, which ensured that the priorities featured within the 16-20 corporate plan and subsequently this business plan continue to be reflected of that of our residents. As an aside, heads of service have completed the business plan by reviewing their existing activities and outlining the activities that they would like to be undertaken in the forthcoming year to support the objectives within the specific corporate plan. The business plan also specifically outlines activities which the Council is currently undertaking as part of the Corporate Customer Service Programme. Also to note, as this business plan also only measures corporate initiatives, activities and indicators, each service area within the Council can also produce an individual team plan and team indicators. Team plans will be primarily for the use of services to manage their team on an ongoing basis. However, activities which feature in the business plan will be outlined in greater detail within such team plans. All activity which has been completed during the previous year will be captured in an annual report, which will be published in summer 2018, as will the report for this particular business plan the following year. Thank you.
Suzanne, thank you very much for that. That's a very, very good description of what's happening. Can I have any questions that anyone wishes to ask about the report? Can I ask one question in that case, given it's... our joint report. I think a privileged position. We obviously have. Thank you very much for splitting out the indirect and direct. I remember the discussion this time last year, and I think it's much cleaner to see what's under our control. So I think that's very, very good. The other thing is obviously we have quite a lot of the time periods being measured in the full year because quite a few of the items are obviously on running. We have on quite a few of the items now got. The sort of review period effectively being from quarter two to quarter four or quarter one to quarter two. And as far as the performance scrutiny committee is concerned, the sort of capture of that information at the end of that quarter, is it now sort of syncing quite well within the performance scrutiny committee itself so that the effectively they're sort of seeing the data fresh in that sense?
Yes, so in terms of the measurable criteria as specified within the plan, this is reported on at performance scrutiny. Any issues are flagged up where those timely measures aren't being met, and performance scrutiny are typically on board with chasing up any actions with regards to any red indicators or those behind timescales.
Thank you very much, that's helpful. Councillor Boker, in between watering.
Okay.
I just wanted to ask a question on page 16. There was a pilot of a web chat completed under improving access to our services, customers' access. I just wondered if you knew how that had gone, how that pilot had gone.
Just to confirm, that's the success criteria with regards to what we would hope would be achieved by the end of March 2019. So I'll be able to report that back to you at the end of March 2019.
Okay. And just so everyone's aware, that's part of the output that we're now able to achieve as part of the investment that we agreed at previous cabinet, upgrading the telecom system along with all the other bits and pieces that will actually be quite important when it comes to the new data protection requirements, I think. So any other questions? Councillor Mercer.
Can I just ask a technical question on page 18 under BP3? When the target, this is for empty homes brought back into use, when you've got a target of 50 over the year, why is it not an equal amount for each quarter? Why does it, after the first quarter it goes at 5, then it's 10, then it's 15, and in the final quarter it's an extra 20. Does that make sense?
So BP3 is a cumulative target, and it's been profiled based on previous years in terms of how effective individual quarters have performed. So it's been profiled in that sense. What may be useful if, when we next bring the business plan, is I outline what are cumulative targets and what aren't for that reference in the future.
Okay. Councillor Smith-Fitch.
Thank you for this. It's quite interesting looking through it and seeing what's happened. I'm looking at page 17, one of the last boxes about implementing the people strategy action and working policies and practices, robust and flexible, in that little box. And I see it's under strategic support and following consultation with staff and managers. Is there one person or a team that's working with the departments across the county, council, I should say, not county?
Okay, so the people strategy is predominantly led by our HR team and the improvement and organisational development team in conjunction with heads of service and the senior management team. So it's those two teams in general, not just one particular person.
Any other questions? No, I think we're there, probably. So what I'd like to do is make a proposal and ask Councillor Barclay to second that. And my proposal is that we support the Council's business plan for 2018-19. The recommendations as page 1, items 1 and 2, for the reasons given 1 and 2. Can I see a seconder?
Thank you, Leader. I'm happy to second that.
Can I see those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Suzanne, thank you. Right. So we're now on to item 10, which is the Leicester and Leicestershire Strategic Growth Plan. Can I ask Councillor Taylor to come to the table for the fourth and final OSG report? And also can I ask Councillor Vardy to introduce the item and then invite Councillor Taylor to present the OSG report? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Leader. Just to make it clear to start with, this is the Charleroi Borough Council's response to the Strategic Growth Plan. It's not one that all individuals within the borough, of course, are equally entitled and other organisations to respond themselves. So, Richard will be here later on to give a more technical background to this, but I'd just like to draw your attention to Section 5 of the report to help us focus what we are being asked to approve this evening. The Leicester and Leicestershire Strategic Growth Plan will provide the strategic planning framework for that housing market area. The preparation of the plan has been supported by evidence, consultation and a sustainability appraisal process. Whilst this strategic growth plan is a non-statutory plan, its success as a framework will depend upon individual local plans within the housing market area delivering the strategic distribution of homes and jobs that it proposes. the robust testing of the evidence base and sustainability appraisal will take place through the local plan examination. The strategic growth plan provides the foundation for this work. There continues to be a need for collaborative working to distribute homes, houses across the housing market area to accommodate unmet need from the city, etc. Any distribution process needs to be supported by evidence and appropriate options. I'll hand over to Deborah now. Thank you.
Thank you. I think the group have looked at this before, as we've had many member training events as well, so we're all pretty much up to speed of what's been going on and how we've got to this point. The group were advised that there was not been expected to be any significant changes following the end of the consultation on the strategic growth plan. All the districts and members would be involved in the process and were working together to look at managing the growth in Leicestershire. So there was concern expressed, are we likely to get any major surprises coming out of this? But the answer we've got so far is that we shouldn't be expecting much change at all. The council was praised for a holistic and consultative approach taken regarding the creation of the plan. Some members of the group did voice concerns from their residents regarding some of the proposed changes and were pleased to be able to feedback answers through the training received. It was noted that the growth plan has been really well advertised, and I think, as Councillor Vardy just said, everyone's had their fair opportunity to respond to it as individuals as well. And the group were pleased that the plan is looking at development in major strategic locations to reduce the amount that takes place in existing towns or villages. I think all of us that are in wards that had a lot of the development are really pleased to see that. So now we're really pleased that we've got to this point. It's been a long way coming, but we're happy to support the contribution and the response that Chalmers is putting in.
Thank you very much, Councillor Taylor. A small error on my part. You have five OSG reports this evening, so this is not your final one. So thank you very much for not correcting me. Are there any questions or clarity that anyone wishes to ask Councillor Taylor? No. Okay, Councillor Taylor, thank you very much. Okay, can I ask Richard Bennett now to come to the table? Richard is the head of planning and regeneration. And Richard, once you're down and ready, if you would like to, I should say, for many of us, you probably feel as if you've talked about this plan several times before on the basis that I know it's, as been mentioned, I think we've, as with many of the papers that you produce, we've had a very good opportunity to actually hear what's been discussed previously. But please present this report now.
Thank you, Leader. Thank you, Councillor Vardy, Councillor Taylor. So the report for you tonight is seeking your approval of the Council's response to the draft strategic growth plan. I think you may all recall that this plan's been prepared in partnership, the seven Leicestershire districts, the county, the city and the LEP. And these partners have funded this process and provided the means for a joint strategic planning manager to take the project forward. And that's been overseen by the strategic planning group and the member advisory group. So a strategic growth statement setting out the issues and the project timetable was approved by Cabinet back in, I think it was July 2016. And as we've heard, a series of member events have been rolled out January, May, September 2017 to engage with elected representatives. And furthermore, Councillor Vardy, as lead member, has been attending the member advisory group and as this council's representative, where the shape and structure of the draft plan has been discussed. Feedback from those member events that have taken place in Charnwood, along with the responses to the strategic growth statement, have informed and been considered in the formulation of this draft strategy. Furthermore, it was published for consultation on the 11th of January, so we're some way into the consultation process already, and it will run on until the 5th of April, and I believe there is some talk about extending it a little further as well. The consultation's being led by the City Council, who are involved with consulting all the strategic partners, and the local authorities are supporting that by leading on the consultation of local partners and representatives within their authority areas. There's also a bespoke website for the Strategic Growth Plan with all the various different documents on it that folk can look at. So, section 3 of the report before you tonight explains the strategic planning principles that have been agreed by partners and that have guided the preparation of this plan. It recognises that other strategic partners have been progressing their own plans and they've come forward at different pace and points in time. So it explains that the draft plan's taken on board these various different strategies wherever that's been possible. And it therefore sets out from that the five building blocks which have been used to prepare the strategy. And they're set out in section 3.3. And that's a recognition of the existing settlement pattern that we've got in the Leicester and Leicestershire area, the framework set by national policy, how the local economy is supported by the Midlands Engine strategy, and how the road and rail network is supported by the Midlands Connect strategy. And, of course, not forgetting recognition of the environmental, historic and other assets that we've got in the wider area. And from that, four priorities are identified in section 3.4 around creating conditions for investment and growth, achieving a step change in the way that growth is delivered. So this is moving away from the proportion of sites on smaller sites towards a higher proportion on strategic sites. So more sort of SUEs and large-scale developments. And, of course, trying to secure the essential infrastructure to make those sites happen. And not forgetting, of course, delivering high-quality development, which is, of course, something that this Cabinet aspires to achieve. So the plan is based on 2011 and looks forward to 2050. So it's got a really quite a long view forward. Up to 2031, the analysis that's been done indicates that existing and emerging local plans will provide the jobs and homes to meet needs. So the plan focuses more on the post-2031 period, and it expects a significant amount of the required growth to be delivered on these strategic locations, as I previously mentioned, and that will take the heat away from smaller settlements. The key areas for growth which are identified in the plan are the A46 corridor, which is... Drive safely. The A46 corridor around the south and eastern side of Leicester between the M1 and the A46 at Syston, based on the Midlands Connect strategy. Leicester City, in the periphery of Leicester City... what's being called the Northern Gateway, which is the area around the A42 and the northeast part of northwest Leicestershire and the northwest part of Charnwood Borough. The Southern Gateway, which is the area around the A5, M69, M1 and the Myra Enterprise Zone, Melton Mowbray and Lutterworth. Now for Loughborough, Colville, Hinckley, Market Harborough, these areas are recognised as having already made a significant contribution to growth so far. So these areas are put forward as areas that need to be carefully managed to embed the growth that they've already had and to consolidate those existing commitments. And furthermore, only limited growth is proposed in villages and rural areas. So table one in the report explains the total need for homes to 2036 is around 118,000 in the Leicester and Leicestershire area. And just to give you some insight into that, Charnwood has built or committed 18,339 so far, and they're on the books at the moment, which leaves a shortfall of about 6,500 to be found to 2036. The city has, however, said it can't meet all of its needs, and its shortfall will need to be met through local plans in other areas. Table 2 shows how the strategy is expected to redistribute homes post-2031 to ensure that the city's needs are picked up and the housing requirement is met in the Leicester and Leicestershire area overall. The plan also identifies the needs for jobs and 56 to 79 hectares of employment land is expected in Charnwood up to 2036. Of which proportion we've already committed. So in terms of the implications then, just to remind members that this is not a statutory plan. It won't form a part of the development plan for Charnwood, but it is important to say that it's followed a robust process which mirrors the statutory plan making process. It has been subject to evidence gathering and it has been tested through sustainability appraisal. So it is therefore capable of providing a framework for all the local plans across the Leicestershire area, albeit, as has been said already by Councillor Vardy, it will have to be tested through the individual examinations run to the local plans for each of the areas. The housing numbers that are in the plan are based on the HEDNA evidence base, which members will be familiar with. and again, these will need to be tested along with the evidence that the City Council provides that it cannot meet its needs through local plans. There will be a need to prepare a memorandum of understanding about how those needs will be met up to 2036, and that's a memo of understanding that will come forward in the next few months through joint working with our partners. Importantly, the numbers for Charnwood, the numbers of homes for Charnwood, are consistent with HEDNA, and we are not being asked to provide more than our objectively assessed need. So, as Councillor Vardy has already said, the response for you to consider is set out in Section 5. That section confirms the understood... can't read my own writing, Leader, forgive me. This section confirms the... the role of the strategic growth plan and the need for local plans to take the strategy forward and test it against the evidence examination. It also welcomes the further work on the memorandum of understanding. The responses to consultation will be processed by the County Council on behalf of the Joint Strategic Planning Manager and then will be reported to the Member Advisory Group in due course. Any amendments to the plan will be considered by that Member Advisory Group and then reconsidered in the Strategic Growth Plan in the summer and autumn of 2018. And if agreed, it will come back to the Cabinet then for further consideration along with the responses that have been received. So, Leader, if I may, the recommendations are set out on page one there to approve the response to the Growth Plan at section 5.1 to 5.3 of the report. And that a further report is brought back to the Cabinet with the responses to approve the final version of the plan in due course.
Thank you very much, Richard. Are there any questions that anyone wishes to ask Richard? I appreciate this has been a document that's been talked about a great deal. So, Councillor Mercer.
Thank you, Leader. The reason for the odd noise from my phone was because it was related to the question, as you'll see in a couple of seconds. On page 32, as you touched on, Richard, it says the unmet need arising in the administrative areas of Leicester City Council will therefore be accommodated in the remaining borough and district councils. What ability do we actually have to say, we've sort of reaching the point at which we can't accommodate any more houses? Now, the reason I ask that is because yesterday, I made the mistake of driving from Loughborough to Leicester at 8:30 in the morning. And not only was the A6 traffic jam longer than I'd ever seen it, but thinking I'd actually almost reached my destination in Glenfield, it then took me 3/4 of an hour to do the last 2 miles of the journey, simply because of the huge volume of traffic that is now appearing in that area. And if we continue to build and build and build, then the A6 will be gridlocked virtually for most of the day as opposed to most of the 2 hours in the morning. Do we have any ability to actually say, and this is the reason I ask this is because this is a question I'm often asked by residents who say, well, we love our new house, but you know, at what point do we actually have to say we can't build anymore simply because we're not going to be able to get anywhere, and therefore there's now a detrimental impact both on our standard of living and therefore on the economy?
Through you, Leader, I think whenever we're doing plan making, we are evidence-led, and guiding the strategic growth plan obviously the County Council is a partner in this process and the Local Highway Authority is engaged in this. I think Cabinet should take some comfort from the numbers that are in this plan and that Charnwood's not being asked to accommodate any more than its own needs. There are other districts across the Leicestershire and Leicestershire area that are being asked to accommodate significantly more than their objectively assessed need. And that is based on an understanding of what the potential capacity might be in those places in order to contribute towards a new strategy for the area, which moves away from previous strategies, which were mainly focusing solely on the Leicester city and its principal urban area. You may remember that term, the principal urban area, and indeed Loughborough. So it's a step change from the strategy that we've had before, this is. And the key requirements to deliver this strategy are ensuring that the infrastructure is in place at in the right places at the right time to ensure that this growth can be accommodated, not just in highway terms, but in terms of the other utilities as well.
Thank you very much for that. I mean, it's quite interesting, obviously, looking at the housing numbers and the growth. I'm very conscious of the fact that within this plan period, the population of Charnwood will hit probably 250,000, which is significantly more than probably any other district in the country at the moment. So it clearly has an impact, but our challenge, as ever, is to manage how that growth takes place within our borough in such a way that hopefully it doesn't have a direct impact on the residents that actually live here in such a detrimental way that they want to move away. So any other questions? Councillor Spinovich.
Just an observation, and I appreciate the huge amount of work that's gone into this and the difficulty of just meeting all the needs. But already in this market town on the Epinal Way, you mentioned infrastructure. We're one of the top five worst areas on the Epinal Way for traffic and the slowness. And I sort of have this vision of Lord knows how many more houses. And how do they get across the Epinal Way? There's just no other route to get them through. And the thought of infrastructure and just how and where it's going to be dealt with in Loughborough mystifies me.
Through you, Leader, I mean, it was an observation, but I'll come back on it if you wish. We are in the process of preparing our new local plan, and obviously we've got another item on the agenda tonight to talk about the programme for that, but part of the process will be to try and get beneath that question and find out what the answer is. The strategic growth plan looks to focus development in other places in Charnwood, recognising that Loughborough's already had a very significant slice of housing in our current plan, and that needs to consolidate and bed down. I think, as we come forward with our new local plan, we'll be looking to test the options and come to a view as to how we can accommodate our future needs through that process.
Okay, I've probably got one more question from Councillor Poland.
Thank you, Leader. It's heartening to hear that this is in line with our objectively assessed requirements till 2031, or whatever it says on the table. My question is, and I appreciate I might be asking you to gaze into a crystal ball here, okay, but how likely is it that our objectively assessed need will be the same in 2031 as it is today? Because it's changed, I don't know how many times in the 4 years I've been a councillor.
Through you, Leader, my crystal ball is not quite that foggy, but what I'd say is it's likely to change.
Okay, can I ask Councillor Vardy maybe to make a proposal? Are you ready for that? Okay, and then I'm going to ask Councillor Poland a second.
Yes, thank you, Leader. I just asked to propose the recommendations 1 to 2 on page 1 for the reasons given 1 to 2 on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you, Leader. I would like to second that.
Thank you very much. Can I see all those in favour? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Richard. Right. Now, I'm looking at the time. I think we've got a couple more that we can actually fit in before 8 o'clock. So we're now on to the economic development strategy. So if I can ask Councillor Vardy to... Richard, you're staying, are you? Have we got Christopher as well? Okay, can I invite Christopher Grace, who's the Regeneration and Economic Development Officer, to join Richard to make the presentation. And Councillor Vardy, if I can ask you to introduce this item and then pass to Richard and Christopher to present the report.
Yes, thank you, Leader, and thank you, Christopher, for coming this evening, because he's been a bit poorly of late and is a brave soldier tonight. So whilst the UK economy has continued to grow at a faster rate than many economists predicted, and unemployment is at a very low levels, especially here in Charnwood, there will undoubtedly be both opportunities and challenges in the years ahead. Those areas which plan best for economic development are those which can make the most of the upturns and be resilient to downturns. Having an economic development strategy in place makes good sense. This strategy runs alongside the Council's corporate plan, which commits to creating a strong and lasting economy. It gives investors, both private and public, confidence that a local area has evaluated its needs and has plans to create the conditions that encourage economic success. We will be sending a clear signal to investors that Charnwood is sort of open for business. And it's very clear that how it will work. How it will work with partners to support investment and future economic growth. This is a high-level strategic document and focuses on four headline areas: places and infrastructure, business environment, people and innovation. So I think I'll shut up at that now and ask Richard and Christopher to take over. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Vardy. Yeah, through you, Leader. Just to go over this report again. I don't want to step on Councillor Vardy's shoes. He's already said a lot of it, but I'll go through so I don't lose my thread. This report is seeking the adoption of a new economic development strategy. It covers the period up to 2020 and also seeks an endorsement for its implementation and promotion through partnership working. The preparation of the strategy responds, as Councillor Vardy said, to the key corporate plan priority to create a strong and lasting economy. Part B of the report explains the rationale for preparing the strategy. It talks about the changing and national regional perspectives of the Midlands engine and the industrial strategy and their influence on Charnwood. The advantages of planning locally to respond to a changing macroeconomic situation. We've heard from Councillor Vardy about that. It's to give public and private investors and partners confidence that we understand what Charnwood's needs are and we can create the conditions that encourage economic success. So with that in mind, the strategy has been prepared, as I said, in partnership, taking account of the national and regional policy context. A draft was considered by stakeholders in October and November last year. And the consensus is that Charnwood's economy is well placed, actually, to continue to develop in future years, so long as we continue to work together. So the strategy before you then focuses on the four headline areas, as Councillor Vardy has said. And each of those is served by strategic priorities and key objectives that the Council and partners will seek to achieve. Now, you may have noticed that the strategy is much slimmer than what you might have expected from the Planning and Regeneration Service of recent years, and I'm sure you'd be grateful for that. But it's quite deliberate. We wanted to ensure clarity of message and approach an action plan to deliver the objectives that are set out in the strategy. The intention is to prepare that in partnership with the Economy and Skills Group of the Local Strategic Partnership, with a view to having that in place by May this year. The strategy has been subject to consultation between January and February of this year, and paragraph 13 to 15 of Part B sets out the approach that we followed and the responses received are set out in the appendix to there. In short, members are invited to consider adopting the strategy and to endorse the implementation approach in collaboration with the Economy and Skills Group and to publish it on the website and make it generally available. So, thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Richard. Christopher, is there anything you'd like to add before we open up for questions?
Thank you, Leader. No, I've got nothing further to add.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions? One question, Councillor Mercer.
On page 5, paragraph 14, it says that the consultation process involved blah, 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 the public. But in the appendix, there's no response from the public. Do we conclude they didn't respond at all? Or?
Yes, that's correct. There were no responses from members of the public. All of the consultation responses were received with those that are listed in the report.
We can only conclude that the public thought this was a sound document, maybe. From memory, I actually sat in, I think, on part of the panel that actually dealt with this, and I have to say, through your comments about lack of public response, but I have to say, as a workshop, a full-day workshop, not only was it exceptionally well-run, but also exceptionally thorough, with a wide variety of different groups participating from across the Charnwood area. So a lot of work's gone into it. Do we have any other questions? Councillor Smilovich.
Sorry, it's a small question or a small point, but it's causing me some considerable time trying to deal with it at the moment. On page 7, point D, marketing Charnwood as a destination of choice for visitors. Obviously, I want lots of people to come to Charnwood and then particularly Loughborough and the surrounding interesting areas. But over the page it says work with partners to enhance further the quality of events and visitor attractions, including natural assets such as Charnwood Forest. And I was thinking very much about Bradgate Park when I was reading that, and I'm sure you'll be aware of council questions that came up recently and ongoing discussions we've had with Leicester County on parking and provision. So when you're talking about working with partners, will it be with various trusts and people who look after the lovely areas and visitors?
Yes, the work that will be carried forward in the context of this strategy, should it be adopted, will be done very much on a corporate basis. So we in Regeneration and Economic Development work very closely with colleagues in Leisure and Culture, for example, the colleagues in other service areas as well. And as has been highlighted in the report and is touched on at various points throughout the proposed strategy itself, the success of the delivery of this strategy will actually come through working in partnership, and that does mean, certainly in terms of all aspects of this strategy, yes, working with trusts, other relevant organisations, and indeed other county-level local authorities as well to move things forward.
Councillor Perkey, you had a question.
Actually, I was going to say the same thing. I'm not surprised that the public didn't really engage with this because it is a strategy. I'd be much more worried if our partners hadn't sent back comments about it. And as Margaret has pointed out and Christopher has answered, it's very much about the delivery of this strategy. And that, to that end, I look forward to your document on that. Thank you.
Any further questions before we move to proposal? No? Okay, so Councillor Vardy, if you'd like to propose, and Councillor Page, I believe you're going to second.
Yeah, thank you, Lady. Yes, I wish to propose the recommendations 1 to 3 on page 1 for the reasons given, 1 to 3 on the same page.
Thank you. I second that. Thank you.
That's everyone. Thank you very much. I do know that it's actually 8 o'clock, I did promise a bit of a break, but if I'm just on the basis that we've got Richard actually sitting there, perhaps we can just take one more item and then have a quick break there, if that's okay. Right, so item 12, which is the local development scheme. Councillor Vardy, if I can ask you to introduce this and then pass over to Richard Bennett, who will reply to the report.
Yes, thank you, Leader. Yes, sir. This is an annual review of the local development scheme. The local development scheme is a statutory document that sets out the 3-year programme for the production of the Charnwood local plan. I'll ask Richard to take you through the 2018 to 2021 programme of work, which you will hear includes a new local plan, the Leicester and Leicestershire strategic growth plan we've already talked about, supplementary planning documents, community infrastructure level, a statement of community involvement and a neighbourhood development plan. It's quite a comprehensive work programme, I'll just hand over to Richard now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Vardy. Through you, Leader. As Councillor Vardy said, this is the revised programme for the preparation of the Council's local development documents. Members will recall there is a statutory requirement to do this. We maintain a 3-year rolling programme. We bring a report to Cabinet once a year. And the idea is that we demonstrate the key milestones of plan preparation and the resources required to bring those plans forward. Not only is this a legal duty to do this, it actually makes good sense to publish the programme so that residents, businesses and other stakeholders are clear about how and when the Council's local plan will be brought forward and its other documents, which in turn will bring confidence to investors and partners alike. So it's a good thing. Paragraph 2.3, part 4, paragraph 2.3 of part B of your report summarises the key milestones for the local plan preparation. And it shows a commitment to publishing a draft plan in October 2018, so towards the end of this year, with the final plan being submitted for examination in September 2019 and adoption in January 2020. Now, that is a very challenging timetable, but it highlights the commitment to ensure that a new local plan is in place as quickly as possible, which I think is something that Cabinet members have expressed in terms of trying to provide the a planned framework to protect communities from unplanned developments that have come forward hitherto. The report also explains at section 3 that 2 supplementary planning documents will be prepared, and they'll provide a key lead and explanation on urban design and how we're going to achieve high quality design of our new developments in Charnwood. But also planning obligations and how we'll go about working with developers and other partners to secure contributions towards community infrastructure and other infrastructure in the borough. So those things, together with the strategic growth plan and our commitment to supporting neighbourhood plans, will constitute the priorities of the local plans team for the rolling 3-year period. And that's what Cabinet is invited to consider tonight.
Thank you very much, Richard. Can I ask if anyone has any questions they wish to ask? In that case, I'm going to ask Councillor Vardy to propose and Councillor Boker to second.
Yes, thank you, Lily. Yes, I wish to propose the recommendations on 1 to 3 on page 1 for the reasons 1 to 3 on the same page. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Can I see everyone in favour of that proposition? That's everyone. Thank you very much. Richard, thank you very much for your help this evening. Can I suggest that we have a 2-minute break and come back to restart? Thank you.